Holy shit. You, if you haven't got into the forum, you're missing the fuck out right now. Let me tell you.
This 48 hours left. Two days. That's 1 day and 1 day.
Don't be a moron. Get in there.
After.
How dare you?
You know who he sounds like? The guy from Dukes of Hazzard?
Yeah.
Yeah. Q-Q-Q.
Bo Diggley.
Yeah, there you go. What was his name? Roscoe Pico.
Roscoe Pico.
Yeah, I don't remember. Anyway, so 2 days left to get free forum access. This is how you do it. You get on mindpumpmedia.com and you sign up for either the RGB bundle, which is Maps Anabolic, Maps Performance, and Maps Aesthetic. 9 months planned out for you. Exercise programming. Expert exercise programming. Or you could take it a step further. You can include MAPS Prime, which teaches you how to prime your workout. Also has fortification workouts that helps correct muscle imbalances. And it has MAPS Anywhere. MAPS Anywhere is the equipment-free MAPS program. A great bridge between programs or a great workout when you don't have access to a gym. Those are included in our MAPS Super Bundle, the Cadillac of bundles. Either one of them, you get forum access for free. We're only offering this for 2 more days. That's it. After that, it ain't happening again. Mindpumpmedia.com.
Get on it!
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Do you know what had me laughing for 2 hours the other day?
What?
Huh.
I was remembering the song that Justin sang at the beginning of that guy's podcast.
Oh, I cannot.
Dude, that was so fucked up.
I don't even remember.
I can't wait for it to air because I was telling Katrina the other day, right? I was like, I'm actually really excited to hear that episode.
Actually, this is a great way to get the kid to pressure him to release that song.
Oh, we'll have all the fans bombard.
I'll be disappointed.
We'll have the fans bombard him. Like, bro, you need to step your game up. You're going to get on this level. Yeah, bro, you're going to be posting that shit fast. We've done like 4 episodes since we fucking talked.
He's a great kid, too. Yeah. He's got a podcast called
You just say that because he's Italian and he's good looking. You're so fucking biased, dude.
You don't think he's a good kid?
He's a great kid.
How can you say that about him? How do you know he doesn't kill little kids and shit?
Wow.
Dude? You don't know that?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he doesn't do that.
Well, you've only met him for a little. I'm pretty sure he doesn't either, but I mean, just come right out and say some shit like that.
I think he's a
handsome.
Kid.
We can prove that. We saw him. He's handsome. He's intelligent. He's a go-getter, right?
Yeah. So based on those things, he seems like a good kid.
Yeah.
But he's got a podcast called How to Do Your 20s, and he came here. He wanted to interview us, and we're like, sure, we'll be on your podcast because we like people who are trying to grow their business. He's a young guy, you know, he's a go-getter. So it's like, sure, come on up.
Translation, I like to hear myself talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
so
he's got a humble attitude about it, which I really appreciate.
So he comes in and
rare.
And he shares, he's making a product and it's made out of like macadamia nuts and other stuff. It's like a nut butter. And that's what it's called, something nut butter, right?
So he brings the song now.
By the way, it's delicious. So he brings it in. We're trying. We're like, wow, this is really fucking good.
Yeah.
So
Justin goes right into a commercial.
Well, so here's the thing. Like,
I had to. I was compelled.
I don't think people realize like when we do podcasts, we just go and there's no prep. We just roll.
Right. Yeah. He was waiting for like, are we gonna start? Yeah.
So right away, Justin starts singing a song about this nut butter.
Yeah.
But it's the most inappropriate song I've ever heard in my entire life.
It went totally in left field, and his girlfriend was in here and everything.
I hope he plays it.
I just went for it.
Find this podcast and How to Do Your 20s and pressure him to release the song.
Oh, poor guy.
What are you saying?
If he wants, it's fine. We'll get a copy. You know,
what were you saying?
Try.
I don't remember.
Share
it. It was something along those lines.
And it was better because it was off the cuff, and then we just went right into it. The part I thought was comical was we must have talked for 5 minutes before we let him introduce his own show.
Oh, I know. you want? Have you ever had people on here
that are such
take over your show?
That are such assholes that take over your interview, right? That was literally what was going on that whole time.
We don't shut the fuck up.
That was an example for
he
sure.
He walked right into a hornet's nest.
But I'm excited to actually see because that's the first time I think. Well, that's not true because we did that with Ben, but it was different with Ben, right? There was a different vibe.
Well, no, Ben.
Think about all of our interviews that we've done. Right, we've done Ben. Yeah. Ben's interviewed us. Kyle's interviewed us.
I was interviewed by myself on Smart Drugs.
We had Brendan Schiappotti, you know.
He interviewed us.
Yeah, I'm talking about all the ones that we've done together, right? And that one was a different feel than all of them.
Yeah.
Why?
What I thought was good, we dove into a little bit of everything. Like,
well,
we didn't
first of all, I don't think we were sober. But number two, we were. I know you laugh, but it's true or maybe it's not.
Maybe
it was. It was in our studio. That was the second thing. And number three, we used to get messed up when there was another person. Like, we're not good at sharing.
Yeah.
Each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
it's a problem we have.
Yeah, it is. But now we're really good with our chemistry when there's another person in the mix now. So now we're cool. So he came in and we just went and it was a good time.
Yeah. It was.
We had a great time. But we didn't stop. I mean, I think we might have talked too much.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm interested to hear that. Because that's what Katrina she asked that. She's like, "Do you guys like talk too much? You know you can ramble." Like, she was giving that. I'm like,
"Who said that too?"
Yeah, that did happen.
Katrina.
Yeah.
And I said, "Well,
we don't ramble."
I don't think so. I said, "Sal does that a lot, but I don't really,
but
honey."
But then we
right?
cut you off because I'm tired of hearing you.
You know what's funny?
Like, that's my job.
You know what's funny? I'm aware enough to know that I have a tendency to like, I want to do that, but I'm not aware enough to know if I do it more than Adam. Yeah. I'm serious.
No, that's why I'm here.
Because to me, I think you might beat me, but I don't know. I wonder who's more of the rambler.
Justin's probably has the best perspective since he sits across from the room trying to get a word in. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I just like to.
Who rambles more?
You can't do that, dude. He's too political now.
Exactly.
Like, you'll be PC. Get out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
He worked with you forever. He's gonna say me because he's your friend.
Well, back then it would matter because I had something to do with his paycheck. Now I don't have anything to do with this. She's gonna say what the fuck he wants right now.
No, I mean, there's elements there for both you guys.
Oh, you know? Don't
you
be
can get
PC.
On a rant and I'll be PC because
like, who's harder to get a word in?
It depends. It depends on the topic. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because if it's, well, this is interesting because like it depends. A lot of times I know like if I interject and if I have a thought and I want to kind of boom, get my opinion out there and like I have to do it like forcefully because that's just a survival mechanism I've acquired over, you know, 2 years. Like I just like, you know, this is what I have to do now. You know, I spearhead my way in this conversation. But like there's a lot of times I don't want to do that because there's times where Sal, like he's on this, you see this like momentum building, like when he's getting on to, he's striking a nerve. He's kind of finding his voice within his train of thought or like kind of going down this entire train of thought. And it's like, I get kind of sucked into it, you know, if it's really, engaging. And so I don't want to fuck that up. And so like, I'll pull back and then like, he can ramble, but sometimes it's important that he rambles, but if it's not important, it's something I'm not interested in, then I'll fuck it up. Right. Yeah. Same thing with you. Like, you know, it's
like a wrench.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I can listen, you know, sometimes like personal experience and these stories and, you know, like I have stories where I can't even tell the whole damn story. You know, that's my problem. But, you know, Adam is a professional at telling stories. Like, I'll tell you what, like you got like just an endless supply of stories. And so I have to like kind of cut through the fat of it and be like, okay, no, this is a great story. And so I let you like keep going and going and going. So really what you should pay attention to is when I come in.
Yeah,
because that's what tells you if you're rambling.
Well, I think I kind of do. I think we do. I've gotten better about when you do interject of stopping. Yeah. I might be even when I'm in a. I have a train of thought. I'm going somewhere.
You guys have gotten a lot better at that, by the way. Which is thank you.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like we.
You know what I noticed now because when we have a guest, Adam sits right next to me, right?
Yeah, I hate that too. By the way, just so you know, that's not fair that I have to be the one at all of us that gets put in a new spot.
That's why you guys are a little closer than with me.
No,
you know,
I don't
feel that. I don't, like, distance from you guys.
You fuckers, you know, have your own seats that
but
you've
I'm
been
okay
in for
2 years.
I'm the guy. Let's back up to when we first got the studio and we're talking about. I'm the one.
Finish your thought because I'm gonna clown on you.
I'm the one who wanted like his own custom chair, my rhinestone mic. Like I'm like, this is mine. This is mine.
You're the one that gives it up to all the guests.
Right away.
I love it. Yeah.
Every way. And then I'm the one who has to give his fucking chair up.
I'll tell you what. Next time we travel somewhere, and if you give one of us the master bedroom,
gotta give you a special
then
one.
You get to sit in your fucking chair.
Oh, well, there's...
All right, motherfucker.
There's a reason. There's
that's
a reason
a great
for
point,
that.
There's a really...
Let's talk about
this. There's like this unwritten rule.
Let's talk about this.
That Adam gets the
fucking... Yeah, see, well, I give him that one because he sets it up.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There's an unsaid.
He's behind the structure of this, like, is not a we're staying at this house. So I'm like, okay, you get the master bedroom.
This is, there's an unsaid rule that goes on in, like, when it comes to booking. I've been this friend, right? Where we book trips. And I've been with friends that have way more money than me and can book better trips and places for than me. And I've been with friends that are the complete opposite of that. And none of that matters on who gets the master bedroom. What matters is the motherfucker who took the responsibility to get the place, book the place, pay for the place, whatever it may be, even if it's coming from the same pot, right? So it's coming from our money. So it's not really like I'm paying for it and you guys aren't paying for it.
Yeah.
We evenly pay for it. But I did the legwork to make sure that it happened. So if you did that, I would automatically submit that right away. 100%. You wouldn't even have to say a word. If I knew that a trip was handled and booked and I didn't have to do it, I would just assume my role. I'd be looking for the second best room right away. As soon as I got in there, I'd be like, where's the second
season?
Yeah. Where's the second best room? Yeah. I'm going to it because I know Sal took care of all these arrangements. He's getting the master
bedroom.
Throw the
backpack on it.
You guys don't want me to book the room.
Well, exactly, right?
No, yeah, you're terrible.
But it's kind of funny. I do love that.
I don't care. Nobody cares.
Well, no one does. We never had that conversation.
No, nobody gives a shit. That's one thing. I'll say this thing right now. As big as our egos are, we're all cool with someone having a bigger ego at some point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's all good. Like, I'm not making a dig. Like, nobody cares. You have the master bedroom with the big TV and stuff all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. I will say
I love that you called him out on that.
Adam, because you sit next to me when we have a guest. You have to move chairs. You sit right next to me. And then there's this funny this thing that happens sometimes where he sits forward so I can't see the guest. So then I move forward. Then he moves forward. Before you know it, we're sitting like fucking idiots.
I noticed that too. Yeah.
I hate this
really
angle.
Leaned in.
This angle is awful because you have both the arms and you have the mic that close. So
it's in your
so
line
I don't get this.
Sight.
Yeah, I don't get this. The eye contact I get with you, that's important to me. When I'm talking to somebody into a conversation, I gotta look you in the fucking eye. If I gotta look you through a fucking that's how I feel like when we're doing it. I feel like I'm like looking through the screen to see this guy, and I don't do well with that. Yeah. I don't like it at all. So I'm. You know what? I can't wait for us to finish that front room area up so we can do some interviews out there. And I do want to change the way this is set up because we do have a guest and we have more and more guests now. And that's not a fun place for me.
Why?
Because it's not comfortable to interview.
It's
from
the best one for me, though.
I mean, I don't mind sitting next to you. I know I rat and I talk shit about that. That doesn't bother me.
No, I like sitting here. Actually, I think I have the best chair, though, for real.
Of course you do.
Because I feel like I can look at Justin. Yeah. And then I can look at you.
And let's be honest.
Hey, buddy.
And
I can where I look is where I can make it look like. Yeah. So if I look over here, you're not getting my attention anymore. See what I'm saying?
Well,
I could easily be like, nope.
Yep. You have assumed this position in every place we've been, from Doug's house to the other studio, this studio, and when we eat dinner, you assume the head of the table.
You know
what?
That's your mafia genetics.
It's okay,
you know
though.
I mean, you're in the back.
You have the head of the table, head of the room. That's okay. You can sit like that.
Yeah, fine.
We're calling it all out.
As long as I get the master bedroom and the fucking sucking tub, I'm cool with that.
Wow. I love this. This is fun.
Meanwhile, Justin doesn't give a fuck.
No, see, now you guys realize I really sincerely don't give a fuck.
No, 100%. You're probably the easiest. Yeah. Well, no, Doug.
Look at my outfit.
Doug has had to sleep on a fucking toddler's bed before when we've
been. Oh my God. Doug is the, the most gangster and doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, he had to sleep in the kids' room.
I remember.
It's a fucking bunk bed.
I remember when Brianna first started booking the rooms, and the first two rooms that she booked, you know, you go off of when you first are going to the VRBO, you look at it and it says like, oh, it sleeps 8, so we only have 4, so we have no problem. Yeah, but it's bullshit, right? It's like,
because there's a bunk bed.
Yeah, and they count queens as 2, so it's like, oh, then we get to the house and find out like, oh shit, Doug is in the...
He's in the garage.
Yeah, like this, so... He's been the biggest trooper when it comes to now. Of course, now that's settled. It's been like, listen, there has to be at least 4 bedrooms,
like legit
minimum
beds,
and now 5, right? So now that we have the crew with us, so it's just
we end up sharing a bathroom usually. You always get your own bathroom.
That's part of master bedroom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then usually we have to share a bathroom. And you know, one of these days, I want you to share a bathroom with Justin. Just one time.
Come on, man.
One fucking time.
Is he that bad?
I want you to share a bathroom with Justin.
It's not that bad.
In the
we
morning.
We have before.
In the morning.
Oh, in the morning.
It's,
well, that's my special time. Why are you calling me?
Can I just tell you, bro? The good news is I'm always the first one up. I'm usually the first one to wake up. So I've learned now to go in there real quick.
Yeah, you got
to
get it in.
Yes,
before the sin.
You don't want to go after Justin goes
you know what
in
I'm
there.
Saying?
You are the first one up. Doug and I are probably the latest up. I don't know who gets. He's the only one I can talk to.
He doesn't
go
to
bed at 2 in the morning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm up till 2 a.m. too. I'm just not up with. No, we stay up all pretty late. Mm-hmm. I just wake up early. I'm ready to party.
You know, an early
birdie. Did I wake you guys? Have I woken you guys up with loud music?
Yes,
you
have.
That's right.
You did that in Sacramento. You fucking asshole.
I did it.
Yeah. Hence why you're not in the room next.
Yeah, exactly. You lost all privileges to sleep near me.
So can I just tell you that's like part of my signature? Like if I go out with a bunch of people and we're spending the night somewhere, I typically am the one that needs the least amount of sleep. But when I wake up in the morning, yeah, I like to put loud music on and wake everybody up because I think it's fucking
hilarious. Cleaning. Woo! Hey, guys. Get out of here.
But I did it once with you guys. And so I turned on the music hella loud. Nobody got out of the room. So it didn't really work. So I'm like, this is not that fun. So I turned it down. And then when you fuckers woke up, I got the dirtiest looks from all of you cocksuckers. And I was like, well,
probably shouldn't do that.
I'm not going to do that anymore. Mm.
Yeah. Doug.
Well, our body language said it all.
Doug, bring this qual on because I know these guys have kids to pick up from school.
Queen qual.
The eagle has landed.
Chimera qual.
Today's qual is being brought to you by Chimera Coffee. It's the only coffee that is infused with all natural nootropics for a cleaner, calmer, and more focused buzz without the crash. Click the Chimera link at mindpumpmedia.com and input the discount code MINDPUMP at checkout for 10% off.
It's the motherfucking quaw.
The eagle has landed.
Quee-qua.
First up is Lindsay is back.
Carpool.
I'm glad she's back.
Yeah. Lindsay is working out fasted and making good gains, but is there an advantage to eating before working out?
This is, you know, a lot
we
of people.
We haven't talked about mealtime in a long time.
Check this out. I just posted this. I'm going to look it up right now. I just posted this on my Instagram page yesterday. I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago. No, it was yesterday. A study was just published in the Journal of Translational Medicine that compared two groups of bodybuilders. So this is what's interesting about it. They took people who were trained, who had trained for at least 5 years. And one of the problems I have with studies that are done on things like protein intake and exercise or
on
whatever.
On newbies who never train, of course their body responds like crazy,
it's
right?
It's difficult, right? But they picked 34 people with 5 years of experience. They split them down the middle. One half ate frequently every 2 or 3 hours. The other group limited their food intake to 8 hours. So what they did was it's basically intermittent fasting. Like they ate as much as they wanted or whatever, but they could only eat within this limited time frame. At the end of the study, what they found were insignificant changes across the board, except the group that ate within the 8-hour period. In other words, they gained the same amount of muscle, same amount of strength, everything was the same, except the group that ate within the 8-hour period got leaner, much leaner, statistically leaner, significantly leaner than the other group, and the calories and macros were about the same. Now, the study's not perfect. It's a small group. It's 34 people. It's self-reported. So, and that's the problem with human studies is that they don't lock them in a room and count every single thing that they put in their mouth. But it is a study that is pointing the same direction of other studies, which is showing that intermittent fasting by itself, independent of calories, it results in fat loss. And this is another study that shows that you don't reduce your muscle mass or strength or performance. So
here's what I tell people. I tell people, like, when it comes to things like meal timing, like,
it's down the list, right?
It's way down the list. Like, you know, make sure your nails are clipped before you lift. Like, that, I mean, do that first.
That's more performance gains.
I mean, literally, though, like, and here's the reason why I'm like that is because I was the opposite, because I believed all that stuff that I was being fed, that, like, that was like the anabolic window and I needed to do all this stuff. And it was like, but yet I was missing on sleep. I was pumping my body full of all this shit. Like, you know, all this other stuff going on that I wasn't fixing, all the big rocks. And I was so hung up on getting this optimal performance. It's going to build more muscle for my body because I was so fixated on that. In reality, like, it's so minuscule as far as what it does for you is in your ultimate goal, whether it be burning fat and losing body fat or if it's building muscle. Either way.
Well, for your ultimate goal, I think, like, you know, if you're a competitor, an athlete, you know, and you want to, like, optimize like, a very specific event in that game, you know, there's a process to that where you can time it, be more sensitive to these, you know, nutrients nutrients that you're consuming. So that way you're sort of fasted going in, and then you eat at a time.
But I'll tell you this.
Boom. This is you respond at your ultimate performance. But yeah.
This is where I flip people on their head, though, in the bodybuilding community. Was I was the guy who didn't give a shit about that.
Yeah.
And still competed at the professional level. And I did that to make a point.
Yeah.
That you don't have to eat like all structured like this. I would skip, like, it was for me when I'm bulking and I'm building, right? So if I'm building, I'm trying to eat in a caloric surplus. It was advantageous for me to eat 4 to 6 times. I'm a 220, 230 pound guy, training hard, moving a lot. That's a lot of calories to fit.
How many calories would you try to eat when you were gaining?
Like 4,500. So
yeah, so you'd have to
4,500 sometimes 5,000.
You're not going to do that with 2 meals.
You're not, and it's ridiculous to think you're going to. And even 3 meals is tough to get that many calories. Do the math on that. That's a lot of. That's a, you know, a 1,500 calorie meal every meal if you just do it 3 times. That's fucking a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah,
so I would eat 4-6 times a day, not because there was like this advantage to it other than getting those calories in. It was tough to get. And then when
it's
I went to
easier in your stomach.
And then when I switched to cutting for a show, I started dropping meals off. And it wasn't like I was worried about like anything. And then
rather than keeping the same number of meals, you just cut 2 of them out.
Yeah. Okay, well,
which is smarter.
I would strategically do it. I'd do like one, you know, I'd cut one out, run for a while like that, you know, and then I'd also be slightly increasing my movement. So if I was averaging 15,000 steps a week, which would be a pretty average week for me when I'm training, I would drop one meal, increase my steps by 2,000 steps a day. And that subtle increase in movement and that decrease of dropping the meal off, it would drop me good for 2 weeks. I'd do that again. Like,
now, you know, that all being said, there is some very interesting science that's coming out. Dr. Rhonda Patrick has talked about this. We're in these mouse models where when they limit their eating to a time, like a feeding window of time.
Like 8-hour window.
They actually build more muscle and strength and lose more body fat with the same fucking calories. Now, these are animal models or mouse models. Some human studies are showing that this may be the case. So in other words, fasting has benefits that, and we know the health benefits, okay? So there's obvious health benefits, but there may be some performance benefits, fat loss, muscle gain benefits that are independent of the calories and macros. In other words, if all things being equal, all the important things being equal, like Adam's saying, when you include, you know, time-restricted eating, you seem to have some interesting advantages. Now, from the outside, personally, this makes perfect sense. Like, when you eat food, there is a process of things that your body goes through to digest and assimilate this food. And it only makes sense to give that it would be beneficial to give your body a break.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let your body not
fully go through the process and then reintroduce it after you've at least been able to process the food and get it down at a certain level.
Eating itself is slightly inflammatory.
Yeah.
Well, there was another study that showed that super frequent eating, where they had people eat 8 meals a day with the same macros and same calories, was inflammatory. Actually showed rises in inflammatory markers. So
again, on your being anecdotal, like this is one of these situations where I would, that was another reason why I liked pushing to 6 meals, was because I would just start to let my body get adapted to this like frequency of meals, eating it just enough in time for me to switch and go the total opposite.
Yeah.
And I would totally see a huge difference. My body would respond right away because it was so used to getting fed on this regular time, and then I'd go the other direction, and then I'd go back the other way. So I was constantly doing this to get my body to respond, and I feel like if you're somebody who always eats, like, same thing goes.
It feels like you're challenging your appetite, too. I mean, at that point, like, when you're – I mean, you're getting used to this sort of a schedule. You're taking it away. It seems like you get a lot of benefit from that from a metabolism perspective, right?
Oh,
like,
that's,
you challenge it
that's
like
what,
that?
That's what I mean. That's what I would feel. And like I said, I know this is anecdotal because we're just talking about me and what I've experienced myself. But I've experienced this too with when I teach clients, and I would put them on the same type of regimen where I have you eating consistently just so you can learn about macros, learn about your food, you see all this stuff. Then I also teach you how to use that as a tool to take away from that and then see how your body responds. See how you feel, connect those dots. Like, to me, that's the takeaway, because I think there's another side of this coin, because we talk about all the benefits of fasting, right? Well, I also see this, and we get this on our forum, I see this a lot, where people are like, oh, I love fasting. And then now it becomes this every single day they fast.
Yep, yep.
And not to say that there's anything wrong with that, but I'm just saying you're probably not getting the same benefits as the guy or girl who intermittently puts it in there and goes back and forth.
Well, even besides that, you can fast too much. You know, it can cause a stress response in the body, women in particular. Mm-hmm. If you're in adrenal fatigue, you probably don't want to be fasted for long periods of time. So it's not great for everybody, but I think there are ways that people can incorporate some of the concepts and get some benefit from it. But the question is working out fasted an advantage or disadvantage? If you're doing a hardcore endurance event, you probably don't want to do it. If you're just lifting weights in the gym, I don't think it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Next question is from Shane Kelly. Yeah. What's harder to give up, coffee, sugar, or alcohol?
You know what? If you throw cigarettes in there, drugs. You have all the fucking legal drugs that people use.
I think it was directed towards us personally.
It was. What's harder for us to give up? But yeah. Just to, not to go. I mean, this is
kind smoking of, been hard for you?
Well, no. Yeah. This is kind of related. Like if you, it's interesting. You know, I've been looking at this more recently for myself because I have found that I've been consuming too many stimulants. For too long. I've been having too much coffee too frequently. Now, coffee is very good for you. There's lots of health benefits, but that does contain caffeine, and caffeine can be overdone. This is quite individual from one person to the next, but I found with myself, I realized I was having too much caffeine and I needed to reduce it. Mm-hmm. But it's funny when you look around, you see people like, it's like these legal drugs that we use to augment, you know, our reality or to push us to do things that our body may not want to do. Like I found myself drinking coffee to feel normal. Mm-hmm. Once I realized like, wait
a
minute.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Like I'm not getting a benefit from coffee. I'm just making
you're dependent
me
dependent on it at that point.
Then yeah, I said, okay,
to
that's
keep operating
exactly.
at that level.
And yeah. I'm like, I'm cutting it down.
I've noticed the same thing with coffee. It's just like, there's definitely a point where you start to see like everything sort of levels off and you're not getting that same response like you initially got. It's more just like, okay, I have to do this so I'm not super sluggish walking around.
Well, I realized with myself, like sugar and alcohol are not a big deal. I barely have sugar and I never drink, so I don't care about those. Coffee had become such a regular staple of my morning that when I started thinking about like, okay, I need to reduce it, I got this like visceral reaction in me like, no,
yeah,
I got to have my coffee in the morning. And then I said, wait a minute, why am I reacting so strongly to just a fucking drink? Like I should be able to say no, I'm not going to have anymore.
Coffee, and I would say it is definitely the strongest for me as well, because I you attach certain things to it. Like yeah, there are some health benefits, but it can get away from you. And really, like with coffee, it's like I feel like I'm productive, and like I associate all these like really positive things with it. Versus like sugar for me. I like flavor, but I've sort of trained myself out of like, I don't have like a response where I see something sugar and I'm like, yeah, like I stuff my face. You know, I don't have that. That was maybe when I was a kid, but the alcohol for me, like, I went through a period where it was like, yeah, you know, I wasn't like drinking all the time, but I was drinking enough to where I was like, why am I like, I was doing that to release a lot of stress. And so I associated it with that, which became like, well, it's just like two drinks to kind of take the edge down. And, you know, I was dependent on this to provide a sort of response. So I think, you know, that's where they can really start to get problematic.
Yeah, I think when you get to the point where you become fearful of eliminating something, because you're attached to it, that's when you need to disconnect from it, because you are in a state of it's a lesser state of addiction. It really is, you know, it might not be crazy addiction, but there's definitely a level of addiction there to where I think about the coffee and I think about cutting it out and it makes me freak out. Like, oh, wait a minute. I can't not have
squirming
coffee
a little bit.
And let me tell you something. Can you overdo caffeine and coffee? You better fucking believe it. In fact, I would venture to say that people that drink it regularly, daily, probably are at the point where they should probably reduce it. And I'll say this too. There's nothing more often, awesome.
Coming off and going right back on.
Oh my God. Coffee's great when you go off of it for a while and then you drink it and
hello,
you're like,
old
dude, you're on fucking fire.
I put this together. I don't even remember. I mean, one thing I will say with addiction, like, I've been surrounded by addiction since I was a kid. So I've had it in my family. I've seen it. I've seen it around friends. And then in adulthood, I've seen it in like really close people to me. And on all levels too, from cigarettes to hard drugs to marijuana to, you know, coffee to all these things I've seen. And yeah, I said something like marijuana, even though it's not considered something that's addictive. But anything that I think that you identify with or attach yourself to or becomes habitual, right? Where you can't break away from it. I don't give a fuck if it has chemical properties that are addictive or not. There's psychological properties that you've become
addicted. Of course
there are. So I've seen this firsthand a lot. So, and it's funny too, because I know, you know, this is something that, and I think we talked about this in an episode before a little bit where we were kind of going back and forth, and I remember I was challenging you that like, we're on different journeys. You know, you have your journey and you're going on, I have my journey I'm going on. And I've handled like addiction type demons and things like that when I was a kid and seeing it so much that I was so scared of it that now I have this, and I'm lucky for this. I feel like I'm blessed that I went through that because I'm very, like, I reflect right away. Like, if there's something that I'm enjoying, I have this ability to, like, right away, like, question it. Like, wow, I really like this. You know, like, this experience is awesome. And then I'm like, wow, this is awesome again. Like, I catch myself doing that really early on. Mm-hmm. And I go, like, ooh, be careful. Ooh, this is something I can turn into a habit. And I intermittently cycle off all those things. Now, if I'm being completely honest, the hardest for me is actually sugar or artificial sweeteners.
Mm. I could. That's not a surprise. I could have told you that.
Well,
for sure.
I out of all the ones that I do. I like right now. I'm off of that completely. And you know, I switch to iced tea and drink a ton of water. You'll notice I'm drinking way more water than I normally do, and that's like part of that helps me go through that process. So I'm still really good about being aware of it and catching myself like, well.
It's a tough one to moderate, right?
Fucking A, it is.
If you reintroduce it, like in any sort of level, it becomes this like burning thing like in your head.
Well, let me ask you this. Diet Cokes will grab me harder than caffeine. I've done most drugs.
Why?
Right? I've done, huh?
Why?
Because I enjoy the taste.
Is it just the taste that you're super like? I'm asking why.
Well,
like,
that I'm aware of because we're still learning a lot about it, the addictive properties that could be attached to it.
Because it's weird, right? It's weird how one person will be like. For me, it's the coffee right now.
Yeah, definitely coffee,
and it's not sugar at all. And then for you, it's like.
Well, so this is my. Sugar. I'll tell you my theory on it. Okay, so growing up, I could have. We had fucking cereal for dinner. I had candy all the time. Like I went through my teens and 20s. Always having Sour Patch, hot tamales, candy, and like I ate candy every single day. I ate ice cream.
Good childhood memories with that.
Oh, ton. Yeah. So I have a psychological side that I have attachment to it. I love sugar and the taste of sugar. I'm a carb fanatic. All those things. So I grew up my whole life. Now I'm an adult. Now I see all the things that it's caused, and I have autoimmune issues. And now I've recognized that. So out of all of them, that one I probably have the hardest time with, or takes the most focus for me to do it and be like, no, you set yourself on a path that you're going to completely, because I'm also this, I also believe in balance too. I actually love the way Diet Coke tastes. I'd prefer it over a regular Coke, which is why you see me drink the green ones when I drink them, is that I like the cane sugar, but then I like the fact that it's got stevia, so it's not as, like a regular Coke is way too sweet for me.
Oh, I see.
And then a Diet Coke is that the level of sweetness in it is just right for me, and so I can get caught up in like allowing myself that in the diet a lot, especially when I got in competing and I became really clean about everything else and measuring. And then there was no, I was very strict about my macros and calories. So that was like my one thing that I could have. A Diet Coke was like, oh, so I connected that to, you know, this sweet relief from this. And so that is the hardest.
Do you think if Diet Coke was known to reduce muscle gains, do you think you would have ever been as addicted to it or as connected to it?
Absolutely. Because
you still would have.
Yes, because I was already, you got to remember, I didn't start really training and even caring about that until I was 19, 20 years old. By that time, I was already.
You were already on it.
I'm already a mess. Yeah, I'm already. And at that time, yeah, you could. Obviously, if it was like, if you told me, like, yeah, for every bite of ice cream you have, you lose 1 pound of muscle. Yeah. I mean, if there was numbers like that came out, I would be like fuck oh this God, shit.
I need a tub.
Yeah, I don't care.
The reason why I'm asking is because because both you and I, you know, had those, we wanted to gain weight and gain muscle all the time.
Yeah.
And so for me, like, I didn't have an issue with sugar, but I definitely didn't avoid it because I'm like, fuck it, it's extra calories. Well, I need to gain weight anyway.
That's where we're similar, right? You and I have we definitely have a lot of similarities with our insecurities, and I think we both connect there. But then there's definitely, we have different paths on that we went, and you probably weren't around as much addiction and abuse and stuff that I was around growing up. So that also gave me a different, like, perspective on all these things that, and I think candy and sugar and things like that, that was never demonized. Like, you know, Coke and drugs, those are all bad. Like, so I knew that. And then I knew the addiction part of it, but no one ever really like told me as a kid growing up that, like, you know, this sugar thing could really head you down the wrong path if you don't pay attention to this now. So that's why I think that's probably the hardest.
Israel Granados, best tips for losing fat while maintaining muscle mass.
This a lot of people have challenged with this, which is why
watch out for intensity.
This question keeps coming up too. This is probably like the third time, but it's because it's such like a sought after thing.
It is, because I think guys bulk up and gain a lot of weight, and then they go to cut, and so then they go in these long periods of calorie deficit and lots of cardio, and then they find that they lose lots of muscle and strength when they do this. So here's a few clear, easy tips just from my end. Number one, don't go into these excessively long, crazy bulking and cutting periods. So instead of going like 3 months or 4 months of bulking and then, you know, 3 months of cutting where you're gaining lots of...
That's just an excuse to feed your addiction.
Oh, big time. Like, you don't want to...
Just own it. Just own it. If you do it, own it. That's all I say. You know, I'm not going to tell you don't do that. I'm going to tell you if you're going to do that, own it.
Yeah.
You're fucking just feeding that, dude.
Of course. But but let's, if you want, if you're really focused on building muscle and staying lean, there is a benefit to bulking in the sense that there is an anabolic benefit, but it doesn't last very long. So you can bulk, but do it for a short period of time and then cut for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. And you'll find that you'll hold on to more muscle. Now, you're not going to get these dramatic weight shifts. So I'm not going to like gain 20 pounds in 3 months doing it this way, but I'm going to gain lean body mass.
And the more gradual increases and decreases, the better, right?
They
as
are.
You're going to approach it with that mentality.
Yeah. And let's keep
that
in mind.
Longer though.
Yeah. And this is where, and I love to talk about the psychology side of this, right? This is where people really fucking battle right here, is because your goal, right, is to build size. I literally was talking to a pro bodybuilder yesterday, good friend of mine, like been training for years and years and years. And he's telling me that he's talking about this new coach that he's with right now and the nutrition plan that they have a meeting. He's like breaking it down to me. So I'm like, okay, I get what he's doing. Okay, yeah. And like his perception is like he went up 8 pounds on the scale. So this guy is like really helping. I'm like, whoa, dude, like for as long as you've been in this, like you're connecting like still, a good plan and a diet just because you saw your scale go up 8 pounds. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like your macro flip, you just went from going 300 grams, or I mean, no like grams of carbohydrates to like 350 grams of carbohydrates. And like, you're probably thirsty. Your sodium, your carbs just went up. You're probably thirsty more. Like, oh, duh. You know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't just build. He didn't just switch you up and put 5 pounds of muscle on you. But like, that's people's perception of that, and they're connected to the scale.
It's hard
so
for them
much.
To differentiate that.
Yeah. So if you're not seeing, like, if okay, I'm on this MAPS plan, and they tell me I'm going to build the most muscle doing that, but then 3 weeks goes by and you've only seen the scale go up a half a pound, but your boy, he's running
eating a bunch of burgers. He's running. I get jacked.
He's running that one program, and he's got like he's put 12 pounds on this last week, but like the people.
But he was eating pizza and ham.
Yes,
you know,
and people don't.
French fries all
people
day long.
Don't under and they and he and if you're somebody like us who wanted to be bigger, that guy's filling his shirt out. He
Bro,
looks bigger.
I used to watch the scale religiously. In fact, I used to watch, and these are the games I used to play with myself. Mm. I wouldn't weigh myself until after I ate a big breakfast.
Yep.
That was number one.
Yep.
And number two, before I took a shit, and I'm not even joking, I would weigh myself when I knew I was heaviest. That's the mind fuck you play with yourself when it comes to the scale.
I would eat every night until I saw a higher number on the scale before I went to bed. So
wow.
I used to go like, I'm on gain right now, right? Like I've got, and this is so hard for me to put size on. So before I go to bed, I've never seen 227. So I pushed to, I'm 228. Yeah. And then tomorrow is like, okay, 227.2. I'm going to eat till I see that. Like I used to do shit like that. Connect to that.
Yeah. No, it's not effective. If you bulk up for long periods of time and cut for long periods of time, you're just going to gain lots of body fat when you bulk and you're going to lose muscle.
It's counterproductive.
Here's the second thing you should do. Train properly. This is probably the most important thing because
the most overlooked.
Most overlooked because if you train properly, if you have good exercise programming with proper frequency, because body part splits don't hit this nearly as well as full body routines do. But if you send the right signal, your body will want to hold on to muscle. In fact, I've had countless messages from people who did MAPS Anabolic, the red program, which is the one that people usually start with, right? I've had countless messages from people who they message me, hey, is it okay if I start cutting while I do this? And I'll say, yeah, no problem. It's going to be a good routine. It sends a good muscle building signal. And they'll not only lose body fat, but they'll gain muscle at the same time, which is something that is supposed to be impossible, which I've seen happen many times. So I know it's bullshit. If you send the right signal, your body will maintain or build muscle while burning body fat. And if you combine it with shorter periods of cutting and bulking, I mean, now you're in. Now you're
so
gold.
I have to add one more piece that I think has been a game changer for almost anybody that I've taught this to is that the way our body utilizes fat as fuel, people don't really have this like they don't totally fully grasp this, and it's very complex. And trying to keep it as simple as possible to understand, this is how I explain it to people. It's like you've heard me say it on the show many, many times that I'm always trying to do as little as possible to elicit
the minimum viable dose.
Right. And so when you decide you're going to make this shift, I'm going to start cutting weight, right? Or I'm going to start dropping body fat. People always go from one extreme to the other extreme. Mm-hmm. And that is so not advantageous to your goal. Like what you want to do is just make us like if you were somebody who was eating all these crazy calories and doing all this stuff and you weren't really training consistently and then you said, hey, I'm going to lose some body fat. I'm going to cut the other way. Like literally just change a couple things.
Yeah.
Just change a couple things and take a walk to start off with.
Take them one thing at a time too. Like if it's just the training piece, if it's just when you just bombard your body with all this new stimulus at once, how are you going to understand, you know, where your sweet spot is with all these things?
100%. And over applied intensity is the number one thing I see with people failing when they're trying to do a goal like this is they want to lose it. And they think that the harder they work, the closer and faster they're going to get to this goal. And that couldn't be further from the truth because our bodies don't work that way. And if you're in a caloric deficit, which you will need to be, if you're going to be burning fat and you're going to be losing weight, then you're also at a place right now where your body is like just efficiently burning fat. And then if you start to push it really hard while you're in a deficit like that, that's when shit goes like, oh shit, what's going on here? And that's where your body starts freaking out and going like, oh, and it starts to conserve energy because it's not sure how much more you're going to push it the next day.
Oh, yeah. You want to get into metabolic damage in a hurry. Just cut your calories dramatically, keep them down for long periods of time and work
and
out like
hammer
crazy.
Yourself.
Well, and then you're going to get metabolic
damage.
Well,
and think that's the extreme analogy, right? So I know someone's listening. They go like, well, that's not me. I don't get crazy. But okay, you may not get crazy like that to create metabolic damage, but are you on what side of the spectrum are you? Are you way closer to that side? Are you way closer to the guy that barely does anything different? You're better off being the guy who barely does something different every week. Barely a little bit more, barely a little bit harder, barely a little bit more. You know, that guy or girl is going to see way more than the guy or girl who's flirting with the beast mode. Mm-hmm. No days off, all out, you know, go big or go home.
It's a step ladder. You know, you move up one step at a time and that's how the body progresses. It doesn't progress by jumping off a cliff and landing where you want to be. That's how you cause problems.
Mm-hmm.
Will Aha, what are your go-to foods? Yeah, what are your go-to foods when traveling as far as proteins, fats, and carbs are concerned?
Did we talk about this with Dom? I think we got into this
a little bit.
Didn't we get into this a little bit? This is where I use intermittent fasting a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, my go-to food is no food.
Well, I mean, I think it's a great question because I think it's a challenge that I used to have for a very long time was, especially being guys that need to build and build muscle. And if I don't feed my muscles, I'm going to lose my muscles. So that mentality, I'm always concerned like, well, how do I get the optimal fuel when I'm flying and I'm traveling, I'm out of town? Well, how about I don't eat? Yeah. How about I use that? Unless it's there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, how about since, you know, I'm flying on a plane for 4 hours, sitting in an airport for another hour, traveling over here. How about I just decide like,
yeah, until you get good
yeah,
food.
Yeah, this is a good day for me to apply some intermittent fasting. Like, why fight it?
Well, let's say you're ready to eat now. Like, what are some good, you know, easy foods you can find aside from having to go to a restaurant and telling them to prepare, you know, your particular meals?
Right.
Like for me, I went on a long road trip. When did we all go to Washington the first time? That was a while ago, right? Yeah. It was in August, maybe.
Yeah.
Here's what I did. I stopped at grocery stores and I bought for proteins and fats. I'd buy a can of sardines or tuna fish, or they have these salad bars with olives and nuts. I'd have fruit. I mean, there's a lot of things you can eat that are really convenient that you can find at almost any grocery store.
Jerky.
That are also very healthy. Jerky is another good one, although not all jerky is good.
Well, not all are created equal. But
nuts are great. Man, I love macadamia nuts. Like, I'll just buy some of those and just smash on some of those or some seeds. Nut butters are pretty good. Just as convenient as fast food restaurants are, so are our grocery stores. You know, you walk into a grocery store, you can see almost anything.
Yeah. And I feel like if that is too much effort, if it's too much effort for you to go into a grocery store, too much effort for you to go to a restaurant, then you are just better off fasting. That's how I feel. I feel like, you know, and this like, oh, I need to go through here, like to go through the drive-through, because back in the day, I used to think that was going to lose muscle. But once I got rid of that insecurity, once I broke through that way of thinking, to me, it's way easier. I think we're huge fans of, you know, intermittent fasting, but I'm also a huge fan of doing it unstructured. Like, yeah. I don't think that it needs to be like this forced thing into your routine. It's like, there will become a time, and everyone who's listening to me right now, there's going to become a time in the next week when actually getting to food is inconvenient. How about you don't fight it?
Yeah.
How about you allow that? Because you know what? We fucking evolved for thousands of years this way, where it wasn't convenient to eat all the time. So, You know, why don't you just roll with the punches and decide that's a good
time? Yeah, I literally base it off of my mood. You know, like you said, like if hydration is something that my focus is on, like I'm usually like I'm trying to include more water throughout the day because I feel like I haven't been drinking enough water, and I feel like, you know, it's affecting the way that I think and my energy levels, all this stuff. I start focusing on that. A lot of times that just like turns into an intermittent fasting day,
because
of the fact that that's my focus. And it feels like a lot of times when I'm hungry, it's that I'm like dehydrated, mm-hmm. you know? And so that satiates me to a certain degree. But I'm with you on the traveling aspect. It makes things a lot more convenient because it's challenging. It's a challenge. Like, you know, you do have to really plan your way around like getting quality nutrients and stuff, especially on the road.
Well, how many times have you had a client who comes in and tells you what they ate and it was horrible, and you say, well, why did you eat like that? Well, I was in a meeting all day and this was the only food that they brought to the meeting.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Don't eat. Yeah. Just fast.
And
you know?
To me, I don't know. There's so many things that it opens your eyes about yourself when you start paying attention to that. Like, mm-hmm. Why am I struggling so much not to eat the donut? You know, like, why am I having such a hard time not eating that sandwich that like that gets provided for free? Like, why do I attach myself so much to food that I feel like I'm going to die or lose muscle? And I feel like the people that I have to speak to the most right here are the bodybuilding or the like super muscle building driven people is like intermittent fasting. I mean, you even heard Lane Norton say like, oh, I'd never do that. Like, why? That's silly to say that. Like, why would you never do that? There's all kinds of studies that show health benefits behind it. There's tons
even
of time.
If you don't fully agree with it, but you understand that there are potential health benefits for it, why would you not even pursue it like at all?
Especially when it's fucking crazy. Naturally happens in your life all the fucking time.
It's actually easier.
Proof to me that it does, in fact, you know, like going through like an intermittent style fasted protocol that you actually lose muscle. Prove it.
Yeah. No, you doing that, right? And then you can know what the benefits for the guys that really want to build muscle. Like, I love shattering paradigms like this with a guy who's like 6 meals a day, you know, got to have a caloric surplus all the time. And I go, hey, this is what we're going to do, bro. We're going to fast. You know, you're not going to eat. I'm going to put you on a deficit for a little bit. And then I'm going to refeed you. And then talk to me about how you feel, you look, and your performances. That's it. Go fucking do that. Yeah. Coach, and then come back and tell me, when you look at yourself in the mirror, when you get on the scale, when you lift your weights, are you weaker? Do you look like you lost a bunch of muscle, or do you feel fucking awesome? But you have to break through that first.
Yeah. I can't remember the first time I worked out, fasted, and I had a little bit of caffeine. Mm. Holy shit, man.
Crazy
energy. I was
energy,
like,
huh?
Oh, dude, I was on insane. Fire when I worked out like that. I
had the same experience. Yeah.
I mean, for me, literally, my go-to foods when traveling, I know you guys hate sardines, but sardines, macadamia nuts, avocados, and fruit. Like, those are my likes.
Avocados are great.
Those are like my staples, super easy. Grab them at the grocery store, eat them in the parking lot, throw them away in the garbage, and I'm done. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, go to mindpumpmedia.com. We got something special for you. You'll like it. 30 days of coaching for how much?
Free. Oh, is it $5 million?
No, it's free. Free. It's not $5 million, Justin. Whoa, it's actually free.
It's
right?
$5 million free dollars.
It's free.
First number I thought.
Mindpumpmedia.com. Also, MPTV, Mind Pump TV on YouTube. There's a new video every single day.
We just
hit 10,000 subscribers.
Yeah, we're killing it. We're killing it. And so it's a great channel.
We've beaten other people.
Get on there, subscribe. We'll send you a new video every single day. You might even get 2 videos a day. I'm not making any promises, but let's just say we're going crazy right now. And that's pretty much it. Oh, by the way, leave us a review on iTunes. 5 stars. If we like it, we'll give you a free t-shirt. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.